what I think the impact of all this is on what we do, both as journalists and as journalism educators. I don't think we've pushed nearly far enough in rethinking the form and the structure of what journalism is. I'm going to talk about this more this afternoon. They're overworking me today. I'm going to be very sick of myself if I'm not already. So I wish I could be here all day, and I can't, but a quick preview of what that is. I think there's a few places where I start looking at what I think the future of news looks like, and I don't go far enough. I want my students to surprise me and really rethink what this is in broad ways. Some of the things we're already talking about, of course, is journalism as more of a process than a product. It was a product because we had to make it on the press or the TV show. That's the way it operated. Properly, journalism is far more of a process. I said before, we have to operate collaboratively and in networks. That's the key to efficiency and to saving money and to being more of the community and to being more aware and to be more helpful. I think if you look at someplace like Google, they see content everywhere, and we think content is what we make. Again, this is repetitive this afternoon. If you're there, I apologize. But I wanted to just outline some of this for discussion. The biggest change, I think, for us is to get out of our brand mindset. And I don't mean the brands die, but I mean that the value and characteristic of brands must necessarily change. And I have a chart that I will spare you. It's a really ugly PowerPoint slide. You can just envision it. Every PowerPoint slide starts with that, right? And then usually it has a, something goes like that, but this one. And this corner has a big circle, and it says brand. And what we believe, because it was the way we operated for 100 years, is that brands were the magnet. Brands were the center of media. People came to the brands. They come to buy your newspaper, they come to watch your show on your schedule, no more. Search came along next and did a 180 on that relationship, where it starts, the transaction now starts not with the content maker, but with the, what we used to call the consumer, the person asking the question. And they ask a question, and if you have an answer and they find you, great, if you don't, you don't exist. And there were algorithms, of course, as well, because Google's very bad at current content. It needs content to ferment like a good wine, getting clicks and links before it knows what it is. And so algorithms come along to categorize current content. That's why we as journalists have to figure out what algorithms do and master them better. Not as programmers, but as executives. Google News does this, Daylife, where I'm a partner, does this, and enable publishers to do this, so the algorithmic piece. But of course, the big power that's coming, the important thing to pay attention to here, is the power of the human link. And Eric Schmidt tells publishers that Google causes 4 billion clicks a month to them, 1 billion of which comes from Google News. Now, this is going to be apples to kumquats I'm about to make here, but Bitly, in, the shortener in Twitter, a few months ago, passed 4 billion clicks a month. Again, it's not the same comparison because Google's talking about clicks to publishers and Bitly sends a few clicks to flaming cat videos. But it says, it shows me the power of that human link, especially when you consider that Bitly is only a fraction of Twitter and Twitter is a fraction of the size of Facebook. So what it says to us is that we will only be spread around if our public spreads us. Now, once they do, if you're faced with a choice in search or Twitter links or whatever, the brand still matters as a label. Oh, yeah, I know what they do. They're good. I don't know who the hell that is. Okay, I'll click here. I know what they do. They're awful. I'll try this, right? The brand is a label. But I wonder, as young people today who are never used to the idea of going to the brand first, I don't know how long that power of the brand as a label will still hold. It becomes much, much harder. It becomes a much higher challenge to figure out how to do that. So, what does that mean to us teaching? I think that the skills that we bring to teaching are in some ways eternal. We call them at CUNY, where I teach, the eternal verities of journalism, and they're the ones you know. But there are all kinds of new values that I've learned online. The value of the link, the ethic of the link, the way we do corrections online, none of it. So the skills that we teach at CUNY are something we're always addressing. Not only do we teach multimedia, where every student does every medium, harder part of that is to get them not to think when they go out to a story that I'm going to be video or text today, but I'm ready for both and ready for all. We teach the power of curation and not just doing everything yourself, but finding the best of what others do. We teach, this is the most important part, I think, we teach how to be teachers. We're barely beginning to do that. But if you look at what we do with the local The New York Times, our job is not to have students create content, which was their reflex. Right? The New York Times reflex was to edit everything with The New York Times. Our students' reflex was to pitch stories to New York Times people and get clips. And their real job is to encourage the growth and development of the ecosystem. Because the more the community reports on itself, the better off the community is, the more we have served the community as a platform. And so the key skills to that are to go organize the community, to find people, to convince them to do things, to help them do it, and help them do it better. And in doing that, you're teaching them. If we think we have something to teach them. And some people don't think we do. I know plenty of bloggers who say, I don't need your damn journalism school, Jarvis. I don't need this stuff. You've messed it up for tons of years. But they don't. But if we have things to teach, we should be generous about that. We should be generous with our knowledge, not holding our knowledge back behind the wall. So we teach them to be teachers. And finally, we teach them to be entrepreneurs and understand the dynamics of the business, to understand how the business operates. When I came up through journalism, I was told to stay away from business. It was corrupting. Plus, it was easy. Somebody else did it. They went to Wall Street, got the money. That's it. We own the press. You don't. Yeah. Great business. Well, those days, of course, are long gone. And I think that what the result of that culture was that we journalists became terrible stewards and protectors of journalism. We did an awful job of it. And so we have to do a better job, I think, teaching journalists to understand the dynamics of their business so that they can run the business, invent things, protect the business. And they have to do it with the cold eye of a business person. So when I disagree with Mr. Murdoch about paywalls at Times or the News of the World, it's because I don't think it's going to work. I blogged yesterday that the New York Times has Robert Thompson, the editor of the Journal, was bragging the other day in a speech that there's no competition, it's over, the Journal's won, it has 2 million circulation, and the Times has 900,000. And everybody reported that, went all around, and I thought, what's wrong with that picture? He's declaring victory in the wrong war, on the old battlefield where everybody's left. And in fact, I emailed somebody the Times, and I said, give me your current numbers, and they give me ComScore, which I think was 42 million Times, 16 million Journal. And by the way, out there is The Guardian, 37 million. And Alan Rusbridger has said that, gee, if the Times does go behind the paywall, maybe we'll be number one. So the battle is still on there. And the battle is about making hard business decisions to figure out how to reach people, involve people, think the new ways in communities, and sustain this and pay for what we need to pay for when we add value and extract value. And so that's why I think if I tried to teach business and entrepreneurship to journalism students 10 years ago, I would have been shot. Certainly never would have gotten tenure. Today, I don't find that hostility to this idea. I held a conference call with journalism educators across the world last January and found 35 of them who want to teach this and are starting to teach this. And I think it will grow and should grow. And I think that maybe up to the journalism schools to be able to stand apart from the market and help the market. Because the market so far hasn't been able to help itself. I don't think it's government that does it. I think foundations are temporary. In fact, foundations are a non-market influence. I think we have to help the market be a market. And we're going to do that, I think, by teaching journalists to be entrepreneurs. So that's what I'm saying. Thank you, Jeff.